Today we're building an Apache-style RIS base route blueprint in Ableton Live 12, specifically for rewind-worthy drops in Jungle and old-school DNB edits. Now, before we get into sound design, let's lock in the mindset. We are not just making a bass patch that sounds big and solo. We're making a bass system that works with the break, punches through the mix, leaves room for edits, and has enough drama to make a drop feel like it deserves a rewind. That means we care about three things at the same time: weight, movement, and arrangement. The sound we're building has three layers. First, a clean mono sub to carry the low end. Second, a RIS mid layer for the character, width, and movement. Third, a dirt or top layer for aggression and translation on smaller speakers. If you get those three roles right, the whole thing becomes much easier to control. Let's start with the MIDI. Keep it simple. A one bar or two bar bass phrase is plenty for this style. Think syncopated, chopped, and responsive to the drums rather than constantly busy. You want the bass to answer the break, not compete with it. A good starting idea is to hit on the one, then a shorter note on the offbeat after one, then a stab on beat two, then another longer note near the end of the bar. That gives the groove a classic call and response feel. For note choice, stay in a range that supports the tune without getting muddy. F1 to G-sharp 1 is a good general zone for darker mid-bass roots, and C1 to D1 works if you want it heavier and lower. Keep the note lengths varied. Shorter note lengths give that chopped, edited jungle feel, while long sustained notes can make the groove too smooth and less urgent. Now create an instrument rock on that bass MIDI track, and inside it make three chains: sub, RIS mid, and dirt top. This is the route that gives you real control. Start with the sub chain. Operator is a great choice here because it's clean, simple, and reliable. Set oscillator to a sine wave, keep it mono, and make sure the envelope is tight, fast attack, full sustain, short release. If you want a tiny bit of glide for slides, use it carefully, but don't let the sub smear. After operator, put in a Q8 and low pass everything above about 100 to 120 Hz. If the sub feels boxy, give it a small cut somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. Then add utility and set the width to 0 so the sub stays mono. That's important. The low end has to stay solid and centered. If needed, add a little saturator with just a couple dB of drive and soft clip-on. That can help the sub read on smaller speakers without making it fuzzy. Next, build the RIS mid layer. This is where the Apache-style character lives. Wave-eatable works great, and so does analog or drift if you want a more organic feel. Start with two saw oscillators. Use a little unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices, and detune them just enough to create movement without sounding out of tune. Keep the detune moderate. A classic mistake is pushing detune too far before the patch even has a chance to breathe. Then shape the tone with a low-pass filter. Depending on how bright you want the sound, set it somewhere around 150 to 400 Hz. But don't think of that number as a rule. Think of it as a starting point. Add some filter drive if the synth supports it, because that helps the RIS gain attitude without relying only on external distortion. For the amp envelope, keep the attack fast, around 0 to 10 milliseconds, with a short to medium decay, medium high sustain, and a release somewhere around 80 to 200 milliseconds. You want the notes to feel punchy and controlled, not clicky or overly soft. Now add movement. This is where the patch starts to feel alive. Use an LFO on the filter cutoff, and maybe a tiny amount on wave-eatable position or oscillator detune if the synth allows it. Keep the motion slow and subtle. Rates like half a bar or two bars work well for this style. The goal is internal movement, not a dramatic wobble. If it starts sounding seasick, back off the depth before changing the speed. In old-school DNB, the bass should breathe under the drums, not zigzag all over the place. Now build the dirt or top chain. This layer gives the patch edge, presence, and that nasty bite that helps it cut through a busy break. Start with EQ8 and high pass the signal around 150 to 250 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. Then add saturator and push it harder, maybe 4 to 10 dB of drive, with soft clip-on. If you want extra grit, try analog clip mode. After that, add overdrive or pedal for additional upper harmonic bite, and then a chorus ensemble if you want a bit of width and smear. Keep this subtle, because we've already separated the low end. This layer can be more aggressive without wrecking the mix. If it gets too fizzy, use EQ8 after the distortion to tame harshness around 2 to 5 kHz. At this point, you've got three separate roles working together. The sub handles the weight, the RIS mid gives the identity, and the dirt top gives the attitude. Now we combine them under the instrument rack and define the frequency jobs more clearly. As a rough guide, keep the sub below about 100 to 120 Hz, the Reese mid in the 120 to 800 Hz zone, and the dirt top above roughly 200 Hz. Those are not strict boundaries, but they help you think in bandwidth instead of just tone. On the rack's main output, add a little glue to hold everything together. A glue compressor with a medium attack, auto release, and just 1 or 2 dB of gain reduction is often enough. After that, a very light saturator can thicken the combined sound, and a Q8 can clean up any muddy low mids around 300 to 500 Hz or any honk around 1 to 2 kHz. Then use utility to keep an eye on the width. The point here is cohesion, not flattening the life out of it. Now let's talk sidechain. For jungle and old school DNB, sidechain is less about obvious pumping and more about carving space for the break and the snare. Put a compressor or glue compressor on the bass rack and sidechain it from the kick, or sometimes from a kick and snare group, if your arrangement calls for it. Keep the attack fast, around 1 to 5 milliseconds, and the release somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 is usually enough. You only want the bass to tuck out of the way briefly, so the drums can hit cleanly, while the groove keeps rolling. Here's where the rewind-worthy energy really starts to happen. Automation. In edits, the best drops often feel like they are being revealed, not just turned on. So automate the bass filter down in the last 1 or 2 bars before the drop. Increase distortion during the build. Open the Reese filter right on the drop. You can even push the chorus width only in the top layer right before the bass lands. A short reverse swell into the drop can also work beautifully. A simple transition recipe is this. In the last bar before the drop, close the Reese filter, keep the sub present or slightly reduced, and filter the dirt layer more aggressively. Then, right on the downbeat, open the Reese filter and bring the saturation back in. That contrast is a huge part of what makes a drop feel big enough to justify a rewind. Now let's shape the arrangement. For old school jungle and DNB edits, the bass should feel like a statement. In the first bar of the drop, bring it in with space. Don't overload everything at once. In the second bar, add a variation or a fill. In the third bar, bring in more movement or a stronger top layer. In the fourth bar, strip it back slightly or use a drum switch. Then repeat that energy with variations so the phrase keeps evolving. Rewind-worthy moments usually come from contrast. A bass stop followed by a kick snare fill. A sudden filter open into a nasty Reese hit. A one-bar bass dropout before the full return. Or a chopped break and bass stab combo that feels like a big punctuation mark. The bass route is not just a sound design exercise. It's helping the arrangement tell a story. A few coach notes here are really important. First, commit to one bass identity per section. If the bass changes every 2 bars, the drop loses its anthem quality. Let the groove speak. Second, use the Reese like a performance layer, not just a texture. Try muting or thinning it on selected snare hits so the next hit lands harder. Third, think in bandwidth. If the break is busy in the mids, simplify the bass midrange instead of stacking more fizz on top. And if in doubt, reduce the top layer first. Most too modern sounding Reed SEs are just overcooked in the upper harmonics. Another strong habit is to resample the bass. A patch can sound great in MIDI, but once you print it to audio and start chopping it like a sample, it often gets even better. You can reverse note tails, slice fragments, pitch little bits, add fades, and create that gritty edited energy that suits jungle and rewind moments perfectly. Here's a quick practice exercise. Build a 4-bar loop. In bar 1, keep it sparse with filtered Reese and clean sub. In bar 2, open the filter a little and add a dirt layer. In bar 3, let the full tone come through and maybe add a short gap before beat 4. In bar 4, sweep into a heavier re-entry and add a snare fill or break chop. If the loop feels like it could trigger a rewind, you're on the right path. If it sounds muddy, cut some low mids. If it sounds thin, strengthen the sub. If it's harsh, tame the dirt layer. To wrap it up, the blueprint is simple but powerful. Build a 3-layer bass rack. Keep the sub mono and clean. Use filtering and saturation for character. Use subtle modulation for movement. Sidechain lightly for space. Automate for drop impact, and arrange the bass with tension and release so it feels rewind-worthy. In this style, the patch matters, but the route, the movement, and the way you present the drop matter even more. If you want, I can also turn this into a more compact voiceover version, or a lesson script with time sections for each chapter.